Hello, and welcome to Right Now with Ralph Martin, a podcast where author, speaker, and worldwide renewal leader, Dr. Ralph Martin, shares what the Holy Spirit is stirring up in the church right now. Words of encouragement from the Lord to strengthen you for such a time as this. We are glad you can be with us this week as we seek to encourage you for this moment in history. And now, your host, Ralph Martin.
Peter Herbeck's with me today, our vice president and director of missions. And both Peter and myself have been really, I would have to say that we've always had an appreciation for God's word, but I think that appreciation is even growing more.
It is.
You know, I mean, just like that, the fact that God would speak to us, the fact that God would reveal to us things that have been hidden, the fact that God would reveal to us who he is and who we are and what the purpose of life is and what we have to do to end up with eternal happiness rather than damnation. I mean, like, whoa. I mean, what a precious gift, the word of God.
And I think of Paul's letter to the Hebrews, where he says, you know, God's word is living. There's such a unique word. This word's alive. It's alive because it's God-breathed. It's literally the Holy Spirit. The Lord is the author of this thing. So it's living. It's active, and it searches us. When you read this, this word searches us. It exposes the truth about us at the deepest level. What's the motivations of my heart? Who's on the throne of my life? What do I really believe? What am I doing with my mind and my behavior? Am I really living under the Lordship of Jesus? All these things, the realities, this word is the thing that examines us and helps us see ourselves in the light of God, not to judge us and condemn us, but to bring light, to bring the truth
to heal our souls.
To heal our souls and to bring us in right relationship with God.
Yeah.
This is a unique, unique gift that we've been given.
It's medicine for the soul.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Well, I want to share a few scripture passages about a particular theme in scripture that I don't find spoken about very much, but Jesus thinks it's really important. I want to pass it on.
Good.
Okay. Well, one of the most shocking passages in the scripture is in Ezekiel 18, and we're all familiar with it. But what the prophet Ezekiel is saying under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit is that if a wicked man at the end of his life turns away from his sin and repents, he'll live. But if a virtuous man at the end of his life turns away from virtue and embraces wickedness, he'll die. And of course, living and dying in the New Testament now becomes eternal life and eternal death. Now, the reaction of people to this is the Lord's ways aren't fair. I mean, how could this be fair?
Yeah.
Isn't that often the case?
Yeah.
You know, we kind of
all that I've done all my life, and just because I peter out at the end, I'm not going to make it. What do you mean?
Yeah. Well, this is what the Lord says. You say the Lord's way is not fair. Hear now, house of Israel, is it my way that is unfair, or rather, are not your ways unfair? Whoa. You know, talk about a wake-up call, or, you know, like, think again about the situation you're in. And then the prophet, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, repeats, when a virtuous man turns away from virtue to commit iniquity and dies, it's because of the iniquity he's committed that he must die. But if a wicked man turning from the wickedness he's committed does what is right and just, he shall preserve his life. Since he has turned away from all the sins which he committed, he shall surely live. He shall not die. And of course, this message is taken up into the New Testament. This isn't just an Old Testament truth. You know, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son doesn't have life. You know, if you're living in relationship with the Lord, you're going to have eternal life. If you're not living in relationship with the Lord, you're not going to have eternal life. And it's not just enough to live with the Lord for a couple of years here or there, like, oh yeah, I did that, been there, done that, you know, but now I'm kind of goofing off and having a good time type of thing. And there's so many times what the Lord himself kind of speaks to us about perseverance. Matthew chapter 10, whoever holds out till the end will escape death. Luke chapter 21, by patient endurance, you will save your souls. Hebrews chapter 10, you have need of endurance so that you may do the will of God and receive what is promised. Romans chapter 2, eternal life to those who seek glory, honor, and immortality through perseverance in good works. We're not saved through good works, but we darn well better keep in relationship with the Lord and live the life of holiness and live the life of love that the Lord's calling us to. And one of the main warnings, you know, that the New Testament warns us about in the book of Revelation, speaking to the early Christian communities, is the need for perseverance. It says, to the one who wins the victory, Revelation chapter 2, who keeps my ways till the end, I will give authority over the nations. the same authority I received from my Father. Let him who has ears heed the Spirit's word to the churches. And that's really important. You know, a lot of people hear the word, but they don't heed it.
Yeah.
And what the Holy Spirit's saying, let him who hears the word heed it, obey it, act on it. Revelation chapter 3, because you have kept my plea to stand fast, I will keep you safe in the time of trial which is coming on the whole world to test all men on earth. And certainly we're in a time of trial on the whole earth right now. Jesus says, hold fast to what you have, lest someone rob you of your crown. And what we just read in Ezekiel is somebody robbing the virtuous man of his crown because he got deceived into turning away from the Lord at the end of his life. And here the Holy Spirit's warning Christians, don't let anybody rob you of your crown. Yeah. You know, hold fast till the end, persevere till the end, you know.
It's the most important thing, really.
Yeah, yeah. He who perseveres to the end will be saved, yeah. Jesus says. Yeah. And so it's just something I thought it was really worthwhile for us to maybe talk about a little bit, yeah. and share this word with folks.
Yeah, I think it's easy for us to get seduced by the world, you know, and there's a constant battle in the Bible's, you know, the revelation of Scripture is so clear that life on earth is a battle till the end.
Yeah.
It's a battle and a struggle.
Yeah.
This is not home.
Yeah.
You know, our home is in heaven. And Jesus is very clear, you know, just thinking here of Paul and Timothy saying, you know, anybody who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus is going to be persecuted,
yeah.
is going to experience trial, is going to experience difficulty. And that requires an alertness, a sobriety, a commitment, a strengthening, mm-hmm. and being fed constantly by God's word and being surrounded by brothers and sisters who understand the eternal perspective that keeps everything else in perspective that can often tempt us to sort of drift away. You know, to drift away. I want to get my piece of what's here on earth. I want my piece of the pie. I want my piece of happiness as the world defines it, you know, mm-hmm. a life of sort of uninterrupted entertainment and perpetual seeking of pleasure and fun and all that. That's somehow, that's what life on earth is about. It can be very seductive for people.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's easy to kind of feel like, well, God's so good, he's not going to really condemn anybody, and you know, maybe Hitler isn't saved, but everybody else is saved. But Jesus tells us, you know, he who has the Son has life, and he who doesn't have the Son doesn't have life. And we really need to be in that relationship with the Lord, and we need to persevere in it till the end.
Yeah, and persevering includes, Ralph, doesn't it? Fruit bearing along the way.
Yeah.
Jesus said, I came, you abide in me. And the Lord is very clear. He expects us to bear fruit with our lives.
Yeah.
The fruit that he wants to grow in us.
Yeah.
And that requires us to be attentive and to be serious and be dialed into the Lord and walking with him in the Holy Spirit. Because what's going to happen is we at the end of our life, if there's no fruit on our tree, that's a problem.
Yeah.
And the Lord's going to say, what did you do?
Yeah.
What did you do with what I gave you?
Yeah.
Why didn't you did for a while. You did it when you were a young man.
Yeah.
Why did you stop producing fruit?
Yeah.
Whoever told you could get out of the game?
Yeah.
And why didn't you stay in it till the end?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's serious stuff.
Well, you know, in all four Gospels, John the Baptist introduces Jesus. And in one of the Gospels, he says, here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Here's the one who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit. But then it goes on to say, his winnowing fork is already in his hand. And he's already sifting out the grain from the chaff. And the grain he's going to bring into his kingdom, and the chaff he's going to burn with fire.
Yeah.
Now you say, well, this is John the Baptist. You know, he was a little extreme. You know, he was out in the desert and everything. But in those beautiful passages in John's gospel, you know, which includes all those beautiful things about being one in us and us being one in him, Jesus says, if you bear fruit, the Father will prune you so you bear more fruit, but the branches that don't bear fruit will be thrown into the fire.
Yeah.
So Jesus himself is kind of basically telling us that you need to stay connected with me and you need to bear fruit or you'll be thrown into the fire. I mean, this is gentle Jesus, you know?
Yeah, it's there's the Lord's clarity of the situation, and it's contrasts with the presumption that it's very easy to have. Like, you know, God is good. I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
God's a nice guy.
Yeah.
And nice guys go to heaven. So, I mean, you know what I mean? And God wants me to be happy. So I'm going to just sort of follow my dreams and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to stay away from the bad, really bad stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm mainly going to pay attention to what pleases me.
Yeah.
What my personal dreams and my personal desires are without really having those yielded, submitted, and really flowing from your relationship with the Lord.
Yeah. You know, sometimes, Peter, when I talk to a group that includes some older people, you know, I'll mention to them, you know, Abraham didn't begin his mission until he was 75 years old.
Yeah.
You know, and Moses tried to begin his mission when he's 40 years old, but got it messed up because there was so much of the self there. He killed the Egyptian.
Yeah.
And he wasn't ready to kind of take it up again until, you know, the Lord said, hey, get married, have some kids, tend some flock, get a real job, and get purified.
Yeah.
And then when he was 80 years old, the Lord said, okay, you're ready now, Moses. I'm going to send you back now. Do it my way. Listen to me and bear the fruit you should. And so it's okay to retire from General Motors. But it isn't okay to retire from being a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's,
in fact, the logic of it, I mean, logically, what makes more sense, as you get closer to the finish line, that we get more dialed in, more intensely surrendered to the Lord. We're preparing to meet the Lord.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's the reality of purgatory, too. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot that can be accomplished here on earth if we, in the Lord, to prepare us to meet the Lord, purification and holiness that the Lord wants to work in us.
Yeah.
That's really wise for us to get serious about and let the Lord produce it right till the end for us. You know, like you're saying, I talk to guys as if the dream, Ralph, is the American dream is, you know, retire as soon as you can. So if you can make your fortune at 45, make your fortune at 45. And then from 45 to whatever, you presume you're going to have a long life. It's playtime for the most part. You have some responsible things you do. But mostly now, life is all about me doing all the things I ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
And it's usually a lot of just personal focus and personal pleasure instead of understanding, say, wait a minute, I'm going to be dead soon. I'm going to be appearing before the judgment seat of God. Jesus Christ is going to look into me, and he's already called me to these things that he told me he was going to check in on. And when I face him, he's going to want to know what I did with the talent, the treasure, and all the things that he's given me. Did I have the passion that he had to build his kingdom? Was it important to me? Well, he said, if you want to be my disciple, it better be important to you because that's what it means to be my disciple.
Yeah.
And on that judgment day, he'll expose our hearts. And we'll cry out and say, why did I think secondary things were so important? Why did I live for secondary things? Why did I waste so much time? How did I get seduced into that anyway? You know?
Yeah. And so often in scripture it says, do not be deceived. Like for example, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, don't be deceived. Adulterers, fornicators, homosexual offenders, sorcerers, drunkards will not enter the kingdom of God. And so the reason why Paul's saying don't be deceived is because there's a lot of deception in the air. Yeah. You know, Satan's the ruler of this world and the world is bent out of shape. And what our contemporary culture tells us is worthwhile living for, is worthwhile valuing, is worthwhile sacrificing for, isn't the same thing that the Word of God says. And those are lies. The Word of God is truth. And the Word of God isn't being spoken to us to kind of keep us from happiness. The Word of God is being spoken to us to lead us to happiness.
Yeah.
It's leading us to true joy and true peace and a better life on this earth with Christ.
I mean, there's no saint who's without joy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Without genuine joy, what peace and joy that everybody desires. And the saint is the least bored person on the planet, you know, because the saint is living with this intense life of love and intimacy with God that's producing genuine joy, genuine peace within their own soul.
Yeah. You know? Like if you're a Christian, you never can say, is this all there is?
Yeah.
I mean, is this all there is? God?
You know?
You know, is this all there is? The one who created the universe? Is this all there is? Jesus Christ who shed his blood for us? Is this all he is? The Holy Spirit who keeps unfolding deeper and deeper aspects of the wonders of God to us? Yeah.
Yeah. And we try to find satisfaction in the created things or the secondary things. And God created many things. He wants us to enjoy them. But he wants us to remember that they're secondary and nothing in this world ultimately satisfied. No matter what it is, Ralph, whether you're on a Super Bowl team, whether you're, you know, you're whatever mountain you're going to climb, everything ultimately leaves us, if we put too much into it, empty, bored, distracted. So we got to go on to the next thing. So we're on this treadmill of perpetual looking and searching for the next thing to distract me and to fascinate me.
And meanwhile, the outer man's wasting away.
Yeah.
You know, after the Super Bowl, there's the hip replacements, you know? You know, after the Super Bowl, there's putting on 50 pounds when you're not working out anymore. After the Super Bowl, is dying from brain concussions. You know,
I mean,
you know, it's life is short.
And there's that is the reality is the restlessness. You know, Augustine's great line: our hearts are restless till they rest in Thee. And all that frantic pursuit of trying to bring rest to our souls, and we're trying to find thrill and fascination with everything God created. It's meant to give us something, but it points to God.
Yeah,
and that satisfaction of ultimate satisfaction and joy and ultimate thrill and captivated by beauty and the truth of God. That's what we're made for. And it's the only thing that's going to satisfy us. And we get deceived, talking about perseverance, where we get deceived to believing, you know, when we run into trials, this isn't working. that looks really inviting over there,
yeah.
doesn't it? I need more money. I need a different woman. I need a more comfortable vacation. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then we just get seduced.
We get
knocked
seduced.
Off course. Yeah. And before you know it, you haven't persevered.
Well, Peter, you know, one of the reasons why people don't persevere is they fall into temptation. We were talking about the temptation too. It doesn't really matter. God's so good, whatever.
And the world, or the apple looks so tasty,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Yeah.
It won't hurt if I take another bite.
Yeah, everybody else is eating it, and it seems like
let's
that's
it.
Okay. Yeah, that type of thing. But another reason why people don't persevere is they run into trials, kind of tough things.
It's big.
Yeah.
It's a big part of it.
Prayers aren't answered, or a friend dies, or your marriage turns bad, or, you know, like tough things happen. Yeah. I wonder if you could say anything about how to handle trials.
I mean, I think there's a passage here from Hebrews that I'll just read. It's interesting. It says, "Let us hold fast to our confession, the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." So it's something we need to be conscious that we need to hold on to, and we can hold on to it with confidence because we know he's faithful.
Yeah.
That whatever trial that comes my way, I'm still in the hands of the Lord. He's with me always. So leaning into the promises, I'm with you always. You know, there's no trial that we're going to come up against that he's not stronger or greater still to help us get through. So believing in the faithfulness of the Lord and his covenant relationship with you and his love for you is really big. And he says, and let us consider how to stir one another to love and good works. So there's the communal dimension. A lot of people go through trials by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very hard.
That's why it's just so important to be connected with the Christian community, to be connected with brothers and sisters in Christ, to have friends in Christ, to connect with people who also want to follow the Lord.
People need prayer. They need someone to listen to them. They need someone to console them, to comfort them, to encourage them, to bring them the truth of God's word, to be a friend, to stand alongside them, to be patient with them in their trials and give them hope where they need it. I mean, this is what the body of Christ is meant to do for each other. It's a key way that God provides and the Lord provides for us to be able to persevere through trials. Because we know we're not alone. And when we're gathered around, when we have the body of Christ gathered around us, not only do we have just their flesh and love and touch, but we know they're a sign and a reminder that the Lord's with me.
Yeah.
And the Lord is with me.
Yeah, and a lot of Catholics have the mentality of, this is just a private thing between me and God.
Yeah.
And honestly, with the trials that are coming on the world, with the secularized culture, with the temptation of the world, with the hostility against Christianity, we've got to break out of our isolation and just say, I need to be connected.
Right.
Hey, I need to join that Bible study, or I need to join that prayer group, or I need to sign up for this. I need to get connected with other people.
And I got to talk to people about what's really going on in my life. You know, the real or if I'm in this battle of real temptation, I'm struggling with presumption and I'm starting to drift. I'm starting to drift away.
Yeah.
I need to tell somebody about it. Or I'm in the midst of a trial and I might be, you know, feel humiliated or rejected or something, to open up and say, you know what, I need some support. I need some help. Yeah. Here's what I'm going through.
Right.
And to have people kind of stand alongside you. The threefold cord is not easily broken, the scripture says, you know. And when we're locked arm in arm, it's really helpful. Because, you know, sometimes the trial is a sickness or disease, and you just feel so meaningless. There's no meaning. You know what I mean? And you just feel out of touch, and it can lead you to despair.
Yeah, you're not experiencing the presence of the Lord like you used to. You're not seeing signs of his favor.
Yeah.
You're not seeing answered prayers. You're seeing hard things happen. Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's just a trial, Ralph, of aging.
Yeah.
Of you're falling apart.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Things are breaking down.
Yeah.
My mental condition is breaking down. My physical condition is breaking down. My ability to just be out and to live and to have impact is all breaking down.
Yeah.
And right there's where the enemy wants to come at you.
Yeah.
He'll fight right to the end and get you to abandon
your
commitment to the Lord. He'll work right to the last second.
Yeah. He knows how to bide his time.
Yeah.
He knows how to wait till there's a vulnerable moment. And he pounces trying to get you to turn away from Christ, even if it's the last moment.
You know, a very sad thing happened in my own family, Ralph, with my grandpa years ago. He, you know, he's a very active man in many ways. And when he was in his 70s, he got a car accident and in a parking lot, a simple one, and they took his driver's license away and he was landlocked. He was locked in, you know, he basically couldn't get around.
Mm-hmm.
And he was dealing with other things at the time, but he got so despairing and so depressed, even though we would drive him around happily do it, he lost some sense of identity and purpose and he got in this battle with the enemy and he tried to commit suicide.
Wow.
He tried to take his own life. And there's the enemy trying to say, you know what?
Yeah.
You're worth nothing.
Yeah.
Your life is over. You're a burden to everybody around you. Can't accomplish anything anymore. You might as well take your life. You know that? that?
Yeah.
And that's the enemy. That's the act of ultimate despair and failing to persevere. You know what I mean? And
so,
thanks be to God, he didn't die, but he tried.
You know? And that's why we're so fortunate. The Catholic Church is so clear in saying life is in the hands of the Lord from the minute of conception to natural death. And we can't touch human life. Right. We really need to, that's in God's hands, you know?
That's part of the perseverance. There's a powerlessness, there's a letting go. Because our own logic and our own mind would say, look, let's just fix this. We have the technology, we have the time, let's just put you away, or just put me away.
Let's abort the baby, or let's euthanize the elderly.
And you can say, you know, that's not my decision. I'm still living under the lordship of Jesus Christ, and persevering means he's God and I'm not.
Even
that he's the
tough.
One has the power over life and death.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah.
And I know he's with me in the meaning of this trial and suffering. I'm going to cling to him and his word and his truth.
Yeah.
And that word will help me persevere through this enormous trial that I'm in.
Yeah. And John, of course, says that sometimes the Lord permits these trials in order to give us an opportunity to go deeper in faith and hope and love that, you know, faith is believing without seeing. And if we're always seeing signs of God's favor, there's a way in which our faith is encouraged, but it doesn't go to the next level. And so to make an act of faith, I believe even though I don't see, hand, Lord, is a way the Lord's drawing us into deeper union with him through the purification, what John of the Cross talks about as dark nights. Same with hope. You know, we already possess the down payment of the kingdom, but sometimes we don't perceive it anymore.
Right.
You know, it's still there, but we don't perceive it. And that's so that our hope can be more purely based on something that we don't possess. And same with love. It's so easy to love when we experience God's love or other people loving us. And yet there can be a selfish quality to all that.
Yeah.
And the Lord wants to bring us to a deeper level of love, a more pure love like he loves.
Yeah.
How much does the Lord love without getting loved in return?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
He wants us to be able to do that, to love without getting loved in return and keep on loving. Well, Peter, have any final thoughts about perseverance?
I think it's important. I'm thinking of the passage where it says, you know, what's set before us is an eternal weight of glory. The present trial and present difficulty and challenge is going to give way to an eternal weight of glory. You know, what awaits us is an important thing for us to keep in mind, to carry in
keep
our hearts as a treasure, as a treasure,
and
guard that treasure. Remember where you're going and what awaits you, and that's a real fortress
it
against
is.
The temptations.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah. The present suffering is not worth comparing
to the weight
of glory that'll be ours.
Yeah.
There's another scripture passage that I think is really encouraging. You made a quick reference to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No test or trial or temptation has been sent to you that's not common to the whole human race. God keeps his promise. He will not let you be tested beyond your strength. Along with the test or trial or temptation, he will give you a way out of it or the grace to endure it. So we can absolutely count on the providential, loving hand of God. He's in control of the circumstances of our life. The devil isn't in control. The Lord only lets the devil do stuff that he's got a plan to turn for the good. So keep your eyes on the goal. Keep your eyes on the way to the goal, and the way to the goal is the person of Jesus Christ. Keep clinging to Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep in communion with Jesus, and you'll find yourself at your destination. And remember, he who perseveres to the end will be saved. I'm going to pray for you right now. Lord, I ask you to pour out your Holy Spirit on all the brothers and sisters and all those who are listening right now, and just give them the grace to perseverance. Let them know how important it is to persevere. Let them know how important it is that they turn to you in a time of trial and temptation. Let them know how important it is that they not be deceived by the lies of the world or the lies of the devil, but they hold on to the truth of your word, hold on to the truth of your scripture, and know the great joy that awaits them as they persevere to the end. With your grace. Amen.
This podcast is brought to you by Renewal Ministries, part of the Renewal Podcast Network. If you are enjoying this podcast, we invite you to help us spread the word by leaving us a rating or review, following or subscribing to this podcast, or sharing on social media. Until next time, this is Right Now with Ralph Martin.